Fighting in eastern Ukraine is ramping up again after a months-long ceasefire that never really took hold. The Ukrainian government says that separatist militias and their Russian allies tried to storm government positions in eastern Ukraine. The separatists claim the government troops provoked the fighting. International observers fear the latest surge in violence could mark a return to a full-scale war. NPR's Corey Flintoff joins us now from Moscow. Corey, give us an idea of what's been happening in this conflict over the last several days.
Well, Arun, some of the most reliable information comes from the observer group sent by the OSCE, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. They say this latest fighting is the worst it's been since the ceasefire was signed back in February. What we're talking about here are not soldiers shooting at each other with rifles. This is artillery fire, tanks, rocket launchers, these powerful weapons that are fired at long distance and often at tanks the fighters can't see directly. So it's one of the most destructive and dangerous kinds of warfare, especially for civilians. The worst of it seems to have come on Tuesday when Ukraine says separatists tried to storm government positions outside of Donetsk. The Ukrainians say they were able to fight off that attack, but there were significant losses on both sides. The OSCE says both sides have brought some banned heavy weapons back to the front lines, and the observers say the separatists have blocked them from entering a lot of territory so their teams can't monitor what's going on.
Corey, each side in this conflict keeps accusing the other of being the aggressor, but who stands to gain the most from a renewal in the fighting?
You know, it would seem that each side has more to lose by fighting. The Ukrainians are in a weak position, it's both militarily and financially. It's become increasingly clear that they're fighting an army that has enormous support from Russia. The U.S. and NATO are saying that Russia's providing active-duty soldiers, sophisticated high-tech weapons to the separatists, so Ukraine doesn't stand much of a chance against them.
And what about the separatists, or perhaps we should say the separatists and Russia?
Russia, of course, is still denying that it has troops or weapons in eastern Ukraine, but the Western allies say it's become clear that Russia's really calling the shots in this war. Fighting is a big risk for President Putin, too, because the EU and the United States have threatened even heavier economic sanctions against Russia if the ceasefire agreement isn't implemented. Russia says Ukraine is stepping up the violence now because it wants the EU to extend those sanctions, which are due to expire in July. At this point, it looks like the EU is set to roll over those sanctions, but not ready to add any new ones. So there haven't been any new sanctions, actually, since last September. Ukraine says the separatists and the Russians are mounting an assault now because they're planning to freeze this conflict, and they want to control as much territory as they can before that happens.
Now, President Putin is scheduled for a visit with Pope Francis next week. Any idea what might come out of that meeting?
Well, so far, President Putin doesn't seem to be changing his tune. He gave an interview to an Italian newspaper this week in which he said Russia was not responsible for the deterioration in relations with the EU states. He portrayed Russia as the victim of sanctions, and he said Kiev is to blame for stalling on the peace talks in eastern Ukraine. What he didn't mention was that those sanctions, of course, were put in place after Russia seized Crimea from Ukraine and promoted a rebellion in the eastern provinces.
Has Putin had any conciliatory words?
He did say that Europe doesn't need to fear Russia and that it would be insane, in his words, to imagine Russia would attack NATO. And he also said Russia, quote, never viewed Europe as a mistress. It wanted a serious relationship. But now Putin says he has the impression that Europe's been trying to establish material-based relations with Russia and solely for its own gain. So he sounds a little bit like a jilted lover there. It'll be interesting to see what the Europeans make of that mistress metaphor.
NPR's Corey Flintoff. Corey, thanks very much.
Thank you.